Many of the things that are recorded in the Old Testament are pictures of what Jesus was going to do for us on Calvary's cross. Many of the things that happened in the Old Testament, again, are portraits or examples that paint the picture of salvation. The coats in the garden, when God made coats to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, was a picture of the righteousness of Christ that was one day cover us. The ark that Noah built that saved people from the flood was a picture. Three stories in the ark, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, salvation offered to all from sure destruction. The Passover lamb in the book of Exodus, another wonderful picture of our Passover lamb who would one day come and die for our sins. And even the story that we read just a part of a minute ago from Joshua chapter 2, the story of Rahab, is an exciting picture of salvation. And you all remember the story of Rahab. The Israelites had come out of Egypt. They were still on the other side of the Jordan River. They wouldn't cross the Jordan River for a chapter or two yet. And Joshua decided to send two men as spies to the city of Jericho. Jericho was going to be the first city that the Israelites would go up against in the land of Canaan in the Promised Land. And so he sent these two spies to check it out, and the king of Jericho somehow discovered that these spies had come into the city, and they had come into a harlot's house, the house of Rahab. And he sent his soldiers to Rahab's house and says, "Okay, where are the spies? We've heard that they're here. We've heard that they're in your house. Turn them over to us." Rahab had taken them up on the roof, and she had some flax drying on the roof, and she hid them under the flax, and she lied to the soldiers. She said, "Well, yes, they were here, but when it got dark, before they shut the city's gates, they went out. And so if you want them, you're going to have to go after them. They're not in my house anymore." So the soldiers went after the spies, and of course they were still in the house up on the roof. And before nightfall, or at nightfall, Rahab went up to the roof, and she says, "Hey, we've heard everything that you've done. We've heard about how the Lord dried up the Red Sea. We've heard about the two kings, Sion and Og, that you defeated as you were coming out of Egypt. And we know that God has promised you this land. So we know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. You're going to destroy this city." And she said, "I've showed kindness to you in hiding you from the soldiers. Would you show kindness to me? Would you save my mom and my dad? Would you save my brothers and my sisters? Would you save everybody that's in my family?" And so the spies made a deal with Rahab. She was going to let them down out of her window. Her house was on the city wall. And she was going to let them down out of her window so that they could escape. And she gave them instructions. She must have knew enough about the soldiers of Jericho. She said, "You know, head this way and stay 3 days before you head back to your people." But she and she let them down with what the Bible calls a scarlet thread. Just put it down from her window, and they climbed down that scarlet thread and escaped. But they made a deal. And they said, "Okay, we will show kindness to your house. We'll save your mom and your dad and your brothers and your sisters, but here's what you've got to do. You've got to gather them all into your house and tie this scarlet thread in your window. And here's the deal. When we come to fight against the city, everybody in your house will be saved. Now, if they go out of the house, this deal doesn't apply. They've got to stay in the house. They've got to be with you here in the house, and you've got to tie this scarlet rope or this scarlet thread that you let us down by. You've got to tie it in the window, and everybody that's in your house, when we come, they will be saved. They will not be destroyed." And that's exactly what happened. And Rahab married a man named Salmon, who was the mother of Boaz. And she was the grandma of Obed, and the great-grandma of Jesse, and the great-great-great-grandma of David, and was in the ancestral line of Christ. And so God really rewarded her for her faith in a God that she did not know, and she became part of a people that she did not know, and God gave her a very important place in the history of God's people and in the lineage of his son. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that scarlet thread. I want to talk to you about the picture of salvation that it paints for us, and remind you of some of the things that we have in Christ Jesus in our salvation. And I know most of us here this morning are Christians. I want you to go out of this place rejoicing that you've been saved. I want you to go out of this place happy that you know Jesus as your Savior. And I want to do that by just talking about six things that this scarlet thread reminds us about of our salvation. And by the way, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then you listen, because you'll hear in these six things the wonderful thing that God offers to us in the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. The first thing I would point out to you about this scarlet thread is that it was authoritatively appointed. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.'" These two spies represented Joshua. He was the commander-in-chief of the Lord's army. He was the head of the Lord's people. And these two spies were his representatives. When they spoke, he spoke. When they made this deal with Rahab, it was his deal. Everything that they, and I don't know if they talked about it before he sent the two spies out, but when they made this agreement with Rahab that everybody that was in the house was going to be saved, it was as if the commander-in-chief, the leader of God's people, was making that a deal with her. It was authoritatively appointed. In the same way, the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ comes from God himself. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." In Revelation 13, verse 8, talks about a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before he formed the earth, before he laid the foundation of the earth, God knew about you and me. He knew that we were going to be sinners. He knew that there was a price to pay for our sin, and somebody would have to pay that price, either we or somebody else. And before he created one thing, before he made the world and filled it with all the things we see in it, he devised a plan. And that plan was for his only begotten son to come and die on Calvary's cross that Darwin sang about a moment ago. His plan was that all of our sins were to be put on his son. And as his son died on the cross, he was paying for every one of our sins. That is God's plan. It was appointed by him. It's not my plan. I'm glad that I get to proclaim it. I'm glad I get to tell people about it. But it's not my plan. It's not this church's plan. The deacons and the trustees didn't get together and come up with this plan. This plan comes from the authority in heaven. It comes from the throne of God. It comes from God himself. It is God's plan and has been before the foundation of the world was laid. And so, getting right with God through the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ is his plan. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin." In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." You think it was a coincidence that this rope was scarlet? You think it was just by chance that this thread that the Bible talks about was red? Not for a second. It was planned by God to paint the picture of the scarlet blood that would be shed one day from Calvary's cross to pay for every one of our sins. It was divinely appointed. It was planned by God and paints the picture of what Jesus was going to do for us on Calvary. Number two, I'll point out to you that it was conspicuously insignificant. I mean, nobody would notice a red line hanging in this window. I mean, it wouldn't stand out to anybody. It was insignificant in being there. Nobody would notice it. The spy said to Rahab, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by." They did not say, "Rahab, you're a harlot. You got to clean up your life." They did not say that. They did not say, "You have to stand before the king of Jericho and renounce your citizenship. You have to divorce yourself or separate yourself from this people." They didn't say that. They said, "All you got to do is take this scarlet thread, this red rope, and tie it in your window." I'll remind you this morning, maybe tell you for the first time if you've never heard it before, God doesn't ask us to do anything to get right with Him. He doesn't come to us and say, "Clean up your life." He doesn't come to us and say, "Get baptized. I think both of those things are good. I think you ought to clean up your life. I think you ought to get baptized after you get saved." But those are not preconditions for salvation. They are not things that you have to do before the blood of Jesus Christ will cover your sins. He doesn't say you got to do penance. He doesn't say you got to work. He made it simple. All we have to do is ask Jesus to save us. That's it. Just ask Jesus to save. You know, that's why so many people find salvation hard. They want it to be harder. They want to have to do something. I mean, if God had said to us, "Oh no, you got to turn over a new leaf, you got to turn from your sin, you got to clean up your life, you got to get everything fixed, and then I'll save you." Some people would have liked that better. They just don't understand how it's so simple. They just can't understand why it's so easy. I mean, if God would have said, "Oh no, you got to work to get saved. You got to do something to get saved." They would have come. Because it's just our nature. We know in this world, and most of us do, still some people that haven't understood this yet, but in this world, you don't get something for nothing. You got to pay for everything. And when it comes to God, they ascribe that same characteristic. Why would He give me something for nothing? There must be something that I have to do. There must be some deed that I have to do. There must be some act that I must have to commit. There must be some work. I must have to pay for it in some way. It's too easy. I must have to do something. The only thing that we have to do is come. The only thing that we have to do is believe. The only thing that we have to do is ask. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And the world don't understand that. In fact, the Bible says to the world, it sounds like foolishness. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." This scarlet thread was not only divinely appointed, it was God's plan. But it was conspicuously insignificant. These spies didn't ask Rahab to do some great deed. They just said, "Tie this scarlet thread in your window." And in the same way, God's plan for us to be saved, he doesn't call for us to do something great, something mighty. He says, just believe. Just believe. You remember when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They didn't say, well, you got to clean up your life. You got to quit being a jailer. You got to do some great deed. Remember what they told them? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Aren't you glad God made it so easy? Aren't you glad God made it so simple? Aren't you glad God made it so that everybody could do what he said to do? Number three, this scarlet thread was previously tried. It was proven that it worked. In verse 15, Joshua chapter 2, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the law. She let the spies down to safety through this cord, through this thread. She saved their life using this thread. She saved their life from the soldiers that wanted to kill them by using this thread and letting the spies down the wall to their salvation. The same thing can be said about the blood of Jesus Christ. You're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You might, and you say, it sounds so simple, but how do I know that it works? And I would tell you to look around the room. It works because there are hundreds of people here today that have tried it, and it works. They have put their faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and the payment for sin that it offers, and they have found this, the eternal life that God talks about when he says, believe on Jesus, and I'll give you that life. I can tell you about a 14-year-old boy who heard the gospel time after time after time. And I would stand at the back of the church and I would dig my fingernails into the pews every time an invitation was sung. I was too scared to walk down the aisle. I was scared I was going to hell, but my scare of walking down the aisle and being in front of other people outweighed my fear of going to hell. And I would just sit, and sometimes I would weep, sometimes I would shake, and I wanted to go, but I could not go. And we were having a revival, and as I was going out one night, my pastor said to me, he said, hey, don't you think it's about time you got this thing settled? Don't you think it's about time you got saved? I said, yeah, preacher, I really do. He said, come with me. And he took me back to his office, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. Tile floor, a red vinyl couch, and we got down on our knees, and he took me through the Romans Road, reminded me that I was a sinner and there was a penalty for sin, and that penalty was to be separated from God forever and ever. Reminded me that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, died on the cross for my sins. And if I would ask him, he would save me. And I bowed my head and I said, Jesus, I'm not much. I'm just a sinner. But if you'll take me, I want you to save me. And I can tell you, in the 56 years or so from that day, I have been saved. Every day, on my way to heaven with my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there are tens and 20s and 30s and almost 200 people in this room this morning, and many of them could say the same thing. It works. I tried it. And it works. It works for me. It'll work for you. So it was previously tried. I got to hurry. Number four, I want you to notice about this scarlet thread that it was abundantly sufficient. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And then in Joshua chapter 6, verse 24, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Everything in that city was destroyed. The destruction of Jericho paints a picture of hell. Rahab is the sinner who represents all of us. And the destruction of Jericho, the destruction of that city, represents hell. And Rahab again, paints a picture of a sinner. She was a harlot. I mean, she was probably the worst one in the bunch that was in that house, and yet that scarlet thread saved her. Everything else in the city was destroyed. But she was saved because she put her faith in what she heard from the spies and tied that scarlet thread in the window. You may be here today and you say, hey, preacher, you don't know me. I've lived a wicked life. I've done things that nobody but me and God know about. And I'll tell you the truth, I don't think God could save me this morning. I want you to know that you and I are the people Jesus came for. The Bible says, and Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll tell you what, I've never met a person in my 60 years of life that was too wicked for a God to save. Never. And you may have done some bad things, you may have done some wicked things, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. All sins. Number five, it's inclusively ample. The spies said, thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And then again, going to Joshua chapter 6. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And then you go down and you continue to read in chapter 6, and it describes the destruction of the city. I mean, everything in the city was destroyed except for those that were in Rahab's house and except those things that Achan stole. Everything else was destroyed. That's what God told them to do. He said, I don't want you to save nothing. Everything has been destroyed. And yet the scarlet thread was ample enough to save everybody that was in Rahab's house. And the blood of Jesus Christ is able to save everybody that comes. It is not only deep that and will save every sinner from every sin, the wicked sinner from his wicked sin, but it is also wide because it saves every sinner. That's why we sing that song, deep and wide. Because the love of God is deep, because it covers every sin, and the love of God is wide, because it covers every sinner. And so if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, He died for you. He died for you. He died for you. He died for every single one of us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then number six, it had to be personally placed. It had to be personally placed. And they told Rahab, everybody that you bring into your house, including yourself, will be saved if you tie this scarlet thread in the window. Now, they said, hey, Rahab, we're going to fix it up for you because before we leave, we're going to tie the scarlet thread in the window. But that wasn't the deal. She had to do it. The spies couldn't do it for her. She had to do it. And in the same way, God offers salvation to every person, but He says, you got to take it. You got to claim it for yourself. You know, I wish He would have set it up to where the preacher could take it for every sinner. I wish He would have set it up that for every little boy and every little girl and every adult that comes into this place that never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I wish that I could put my hands on them or pray over them or do something and they would be saved. But it doesn't work like that. There are people in this church and all over in these pews that wish the same thing. They wish they could be saved for you. They wish, again, that they could pray or put their hands on you or do something so that you would accept Christ as your Savior. But that's not the plan. That's not the deal that God has cut. He says we have to take it for ourselves. We have to take it for ourselves. That's what Rahab did. She had to tie the thread in the window herself. The spies could not do it for her. And so today, you have to take God's gift of salvation for yourself. I can't do it for you. Your mom and dad can't do it for you. Your grandparents can't do it for you. Your brothers and sisters can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself, and you need to do it now. Did you notice when Rahab did it? She said, well, I'm sure they won't be back for a couple weeks, and it might even be a month. I'll just wait and tie it someday in the future. No, when she got done using the thread to let the spies down, the Bible says she took it and tied it in the window at that moment. She didn't know when they were going to come back. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. I think he's getting closer than it's ever been, but I don't know. And so I would encourage you today to do the same thing that she did. The blood of Jesus Christ, represented by that scarlet thread, saves us from sin. But we have to call upon him and ask him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible also says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. What a shame it would have been if Rahab would have said, well, I must have a couple weeks. I must have a month. They won't be back. They got to cross the Jordan River, and you know they got to do all that other stuff. And what a shame it would have been if the scarlet thread would have been wound up there on a table by the window, and she said, I'll get to it. I'll do it one day. I'll do it one day soon. And then the walls of Jericho fell. And the means of salvation was sitting right there in plain sight. And she ignored it and never tied it in the window. That's what's going to happen to some people in this world. They've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They know what to do to be saved. They know that all you have to do is ask Christ to be your Savior and God will save you. But they never get around to it. Say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it next week, or I'll do it next month, or I'll do it when I'm a little bit older. And Jesus will come, and it'll be too late. Don't be in that number. Take the scarlet thread, again, that represents the blood of Jesus Christ, and ask Jesus to save you today. He will today. Now, again, I know most of us are saved. I hope you go out of this place rejoicing. What a wonderful salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. But if there's just one or two here that's never asked Christ to be your Savior, would you do it this morning? Would you do it right now? In just a second, we're going to stand, we're going to sing a song, and we're going to give people an opportunity to come. If you're here and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I want you to get up, I want you to come, and somebody will take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. And for stories like this from the Old Testament that paint a wonderful picture of salvation. And I pray this morning, dear God, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ, that they will do what you tell us to do. We have faith in the deal that you've made with us, that if we come to Christ and ask him to save us, he'd save us. Father, for the many Christians out of here, help us to, again, be reminded of the wonderful thing we have, the gift from you of salvation that's offered to every person. And again, Father, I pray that we leave rejoicing for that salvation. Speak to our hearts. Do in our hearts this morning what you know needs to be done. Use this invitation to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.